I'm so pleased to be able to join you at Dandenong Polish Church today. I would have loved to be with you in person, but with our COVID restrictions, we know that isn't possible, but we can still worship God. And that's what we're here for today. First of all, let me encourage you and thank you for your faithfulness in these difficult times. One of the evidences of faithfulness of our people is the number of new people who have joined our faith and our church over the last 6 or so months. For the first quarter of this year, when we saw the report come through, we saw that there was an 8-year high in baptisms and professions of faith, that is, new people joining our church. And then, when the report came in for the next 3 months, which takes us through till the end of June, again, we saw another 8-year high, even higher than it was for the first 3 months of the year. And I think that's an indication of people who are committed to the Lord, church members who are sharing their faith with friends, faithful pastors, churches that are just busy doing the work that Jesus gave us to do. And so I want to say to you, thank you for your part. And thank you for being part of God's great kingdom and his church right here in Victoria. I'm going to invite you to pray just before we start to open God's word. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we turn to you because we want to be led by your Spirit as we read from your word today and as we explore how we may grow even in COVID times. And so we turn to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple of weeks ago, before the most recent lockdown, I went to get my hair cut. Probably due for another haircut, but that's how it goes. When I walked into the salon, you see, I never make an appointment. I just turn up and hope that there's no queue. And if there is a queue, maybe I'll come back another time. But I had the opportunity, so I turned up and I saw that it was my lucky day. There was literally nobody else in the hair salon other than one hairdresser. It wasn't long before she started cutting my hair and we started to talk. I started the discussion by asking her, "Have you always lived in Victoria?" "Yes," she said. Her accent betrayed her and it made me wonder how that had happened and whether she had understood my question. But the conversation continued with her asking me, "Have you always lived in Melbourne?" "No," I said, "I haven't." And I told her of various places that we have worked because of being called by the church to go there or do that or do whatever the role was. When I mentioned Fiji, she stopped and she said, "Why did you go to Fiji?" I said, "For work." She said, "You must be a multinational businessman." "No," I said, "I work for the church." "Oh," she said, with great reverence in her voice, "you must be like a father." "Well," I said, "I am a minister." Again, the conversation changed. In a moment, she asked me, "Does the Bible say anything about COVID-19? I assured her that it does. It wasn't long before we were into a discussion of signs of the second coming and finding our way through effectively Matthew 24 without having our Bible open. I told her about famines and pestilences and that I believe COVID-19 is a pestilence. It wasn't very long before she said to me, "Well, I'm going to give you a haircut to help you be ready for Jesus to come." She had quite a sense of humour. But one thing I had been able to share with her is the hope that we hold dear, hope that Jesus will soon return. Quite recently, we had a major storm not far from where I live, in fact, right in our area. There were many trees that were knocked down. And I went around and I had a look. There are many that are still standing, like these ones. What I discovered is trees are prepared for the prevailing wind, the wind that normally comes. And most of the weather comes from the west. And so the trees are ready for that. The west wind hardly ever blows down any trees. But the east wind? Well, that's a different story. And so when these trees were faced with a wind that came from a different direction, there are many that fell down. Some of them have fallen, some of them are still growing and doing very, very well. Here's one that wasn't prepared for the east wind. Here's one that wasn't prepared for the east wind. It's simply fallen over. Here's another one that is still standing, but it's not growing. In fact, it's totally dead. And this one has been through a lot. It's twisted, it's bent, but it's still growing healthy and strong, even though it's a bit bent out of shape. So I wonder how it is for you. I wonder if you're continuing to grow healthy and strong in these COVID days, or if perhaps COVID-19 and the lockdowns that we've had they've certainly come to some people a bit like the east wind and made it almost impossible to continue in our normal way of doing things. I wonder, when you heard about the extension to lockdown number 6, did you welcome that news with joy? Or was it a bit tough? You know, as we face lockdown, there are many emotions that come our way. For some, there's fear. For others, there's anger or frustration. Some people are downhearted or depressed, and some people have a high level of anxiety. I don't know how you cope with your feelings and the way that you experience life. You know, some people just put on a happy face, no matter what is going on underneath. Some people, it's like we're wearing masks, which are hiding what's going on inside. I can remember talking to one of her friends once, and I said, why is it that sometimes we put on a smile when we feel like crying? And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, you are disarming. I didn't realize that I had just described what was going on for him. He was clearly going through a rough patch in his life. It was Jesus who said to us, in the world, you'll have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. So we shouldn't be surprised when we have trouble in this world. And yes, we have trouble with COVID-19. I've had trouble over a period of time. I can remember a few years back when I had a fairly negative health report. I wasn't able to sleep that night, and I decided to not keep my wife awake, but rather go out into the lounge room where I could sit by the fire and listen to music on my phone. And so I looked up YouTube clips that I could listen to, and I came across a song that I didn't know even existed. Let me share the words. And by the way, the name of the song, My Life Is In Your Hands. You might want to look it up over lunch and have a listen to it. It's not bad. It's still available on YouTube, and I reckon the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir do an excellent job of this song. And so the words, let me share them with you. You don't have to worry, and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Troubles, they don't last always. For there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. Well, it was such a beautiful song, I listened to it again with the headphones on, you know, so I wouldn't be disturbing my wife. And I listened again and again, And then I just started to sing it along with the choir. Just quietly, just to myself. Have you ever had headphones on and not been able to tell how loud your voice is? Well, that is what happened that night. I thought I was just singing really quietly. Nuh-uh. And the other thing, because I couldn't hear my voice, I was singing way out of tune. It wasn't long before Marcia came out and she said to me, "Graham, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm listening to this beautiful song and singing along with it." She said, "You're singing really loud." "Oh," I said, "am I? Sorry." But it's a great song. And it reminds me that even though we face difficult times right now with COVID-19 and with the lockdown and all of the things that come with that, our lives are in God's hands and He cares. So we're in lockdown again, but we're not the first to have a lockdown. Have you read about any of the lockdowns in Bible days? One of them is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 6 and chapter 7. It really started out because of Elisha. Elisha had the reputation of being able to tell the king of Israel what the other nations were planning, even when the enemy king was just talking quietly in his bedroom. And so the king of Israel was always prepared. Eventually the enemy king said to his soldiers, "Who's betraying us?" And they said, "Well, it's Elisha." They said, "Right, let's go and get Elisha." And so they turned up at the city where Elisha was. Elisha saw them coming and he prayed, "God, please make them go blind." And God answered that prayer. And so then when they were blind, Elisha went out and he said to them, "You've come to the wrong city. Let me lead you to the city that you need to go to." And so blindly they followed along. And Elisha led them to his king. Well, it wasn't very long before the king summed it up and he said to Elisha, "Shall I just kill them all?" "No," Elisha said, "give them a banquet and send them home." I reckon he must have had quite a sense of humour. So they went home. And it wasn't long after that before the army was back. And this time they surrounded the city with their army and they made sure that nobody could get in or out. They couldn't get food. They couldn't get supplies. They were just stuck right there. In those days, the soldiers would come up to the wall very close to try to shoot arrows over the wall to hit people, kill people. The people on the wall would try and throw boiling water or boiling oil or rocks or anything they could at the soldiers, and I can imagine that could change the nature of their day. But there were men outside the city in isolation that went way more than 14 days. And yes, it was because of sickness, not COVID-19, but leprosy. You may know the story. The lepers were hungry. They couldn't find food, and so they decided to go to the enemy army and ask them for food. And the enemy army, when they arrived, it just simply wasn't there. And so those men went and told, they had a good feed themselves, then they went and told everybody else, "Come and get food, there's plenty." And so the story goes. It's clear that even though they had terrible trouble, God brought them through it. He was with them in the midst of their difficulty. Is it possible that God is with us in the midst of our difficulty too? I want to turn to the scriptures, and if you have your Bible there, I'm going to invite you to open it to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you see that there? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The verse goes on that right there, the practical part of me, and I happen to be a practical bloke by nature, the practical part of me just wants to know, how do we do that? Well, the Apostle Paul hasn't actually told us how to do it. So let's explore other things that can help us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There was a stage in my life where I was really, really struggling. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to continue with the load that I was carrying, and I was searching for answers. I needed something, and I knew I needed it, and I simply didn't have it. Yes, I was having my devotions, I had my relationship with God, and I needed some guidance to be able to renew my mind, because I was feeling a bit negative, maybe a bit depressed, maybe more than a bit. I came across something that was called Questions for the Start of the Day. Here's the first one. What could I be happy about right now? Now, that's the sort of question that will give your mind a job to do. Did you know that the questions you ask of yourself do that? They give your mind a job to do, and your mind will go searching for the answer. Some questions will build you up, and other questions will take you down, like this one. Imagine I've done something really stupid, and yeah, that's happened, of course. So if I ask myself, how could I have been so stupid? Do you think that as I think about that question, that I'm ever going to find a really good answer that will build me up? Of course not. But on the other hand, if I ask myself, what could I be happy about right now? That is a question that will renew my mind. And here's another one. What opportunities could I be excited about today? Now, I've got five examples of these type of questions that can build you up and can renew your mind. You may want to have a copy of them. I'm going to suggest that if you do, that you get your phone ready so you can take a photo of the screen when I've got five questions there. Here's a third one. What is there about my life right now for which I can be thankful? And the fourth one, in what aspects of my life do I need God's guidance now? And for what will I need wisdom today? When I came across those questions, I decided, well, I've got nothing to lose. I might as well just do what they're suggesting I do and ask myself those questions. And so I did. Every morning, when I had my devotions, I would ask myself those questions and pray about those things. I remember the morning that I woke up and looked out the window and I saw the dew on the leaves of the trees. And I thought, wow, look at the sunshine sparkling on that. Isn't that beautiful? And then I looked across and I saw that I'd woken up next to the girl of my dreams. That's Marcia, the one I married, by the way, in case you're wondering. And I thought, I'm so lucky to be alive. And then I stopped and I thought, what just happened? I'd been asking myself these questions to renew my mind for about 3 or 4 weeks, and things were different. You see, some people wake up in the morning and they say, good Lord, it's morning! I don't do that. And there are other people who wake up and they say, good Lord, it's morning. I don't do that either. And there are others who just get up, and that's pretty much what I do. But this morning, I was getting up with positive thinking, with a positive attitude, with courage and strength for the day, and life was different. And so I invite you to try those questions for the start of the day that you can renew your mind and be transformed. I want you to turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4, and let's read in verse 6 and verse 7, because the Apostle Paul writes to us some verses that are very well known, but they mean a lot in our current situation. First of all, he says, "Don't worry about anything." And you might be saying, "Well, that's fine for you, Apostle Paul. You aren't in 2021 in the middle of a lockdown, and we are." No, he wasn't. Do you know where he was when he wrote those words? He was in prison. Well, I don't think that'd be my choice. But there he is in prison, on death row effectively, and he says, "Don't worry about anything." Well, how come? He goes on to say, "Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. And then you'll experience God's peace. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." What a wonderful promise. And what a wonderful reminder. So I've given you questions for the start of the day, and now a reminder to prayerfully take everything to God, that he may give us his peace, and that he will guard your heart and mind. I don't know if you've heard the song, "Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child." That's another one to look up over lunch on YouTube if you haven't heard it, or even if you have. It's a good song, and it tells me of the reality that we face and the reality of the way that God works, because sometimes he does calm the storms of our lives, and other times they are still there, but he calms his child. That's like you and me. And I think that is the greater miracle. I think that's a bigger miracle than when he changes our circumstances and makes everything wonderful for us. And his peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. One more thing I want to share with you now. I've a couple of songs, a couple of passages from the scripture, and here's another passage from the scripture. Psalm 63. In the first six verses, David gives us some of his secrets as to what he has done to build his relationship with God. And as he builds his relationship with God, he deals with the issues of his life. I could have shown it to you from other psalms, but there are many psalms in which David outlines to God, he tells him, "This is what's going on in my life." And then he focuses his mind on God. And at the end of the psalm, the circumstances have not changed, but David is different and he has strength and courage for the day. In Psalm 63 and in verse 1, he says, "O God, you are my God. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water." What do you think David is doing in that verse? It seems to me, as he says, "O God, you are my God," it seems that he's affirming his faith. You might have heard this before, but someone said, "Believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts, rather than doubting your beliefs and believing your doubts." And that's how it was for David. He is affirming his belief in God. "O God, you are my God. This verse has changed the way that I pray. I focus my mind on God right at the beginning of my prayer many times by praying the way David prayed." And then in verse 2, he says, "I've seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory." So he's thinking about the times when he's seen God at work. When have you seen God at work? What memories do you have of where God has stepped into your situation and made a difference? And then, verse 3, your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. Well, praise is very, very important. And so let me ask you, for what do you praise God? Well, praise is all about focusing on the qualities of the character of God. Thanks is something different to praise. Many times we thank God for what he has done for us, and we should. But praise is focusing our minds on him. There are a number of ways of doing it, and David talks about some of these as we go forward, and I'll share them with you as we go. The thing that I want you to know is that what David is telling us in this psalm are simple things. Things that even someone like me, I know how to do them. And my guess is you will too. And I've received the benefit, just as King David did. And you can too. As you focus your mind on God, doing the things that David did. In verse 4 he says, I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. Many times we pray because we want something from God. David is not praying that kind of prayer. He's praying a prayer of praise, focusing his mind on God and lifting his hands to God in prayer. Why? Because he wants to be close to him. He wants to develop his relationship with God. That's a different way of praying. And so my question for you today is, how will you pray to be connected to our Heavenly Father? In verse 5, David wrote, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. Now I wonder, what songs help you to experience joy and to focus your mind on God? We have some wonderful hymns and other songs that we can use for that purpose. David did it. And then in verse 6, I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Have you ever stayed awake at night? Couldn't go to sleep? Well, it's happened to me sometimes. Mostly I sleep pretty well, but it has happened. I don't like it when it happens. I much prefer a good night's sleep. But since I came across Psalm 63, if I happen to be awake, this is what I'll do. I'll say, God, let me share with you what's going on in my life. These are the things that I'm thinking about, the things that have kept me awake tonight. Let me hand them over to you. Now, let me think about you. Let me meditate on you. This is Christian meditation, which is very different from Eastern meditation. So Christian meditation is focusing our mind on God. And here's one way that I do it. I'll go through the alphabet, starting with A. What's a word that starts with A that describes who God is? Awesome! Our God is an awesome God. He's an almighty God. I'll think about those things for a little while, then go to B. Beautiful. And C. And so it goes. I won't take the time. I'll leave that to you to focus your mind on God. And do you know what? I've found it makes a huge difference to me. And as I've done it again and again, I've had peace and, in fact, drifted off into a peaceful sleep. There's a little song that reminds me of what we're talking about today. It's a song that's been around for a long, long time. Maybe you know the song. The words are very simple and they sum up what we're talking about beautifully. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. My grandmother knew what that was all about. She lived in the Depression years where they didn't have much money, they had a lot of work, they had a lot of struggles, a lot of challenges, health challenges along with other things. But she knew what it was to focus on Jesus, to turn her eyes upon Jesus. She had three daughters and she would send them to work in the morning, give them a patch of the veggie garden to weed, other work to clean up outside, to go and maybe mow the lawn, I don't know all of the things that they did. And then she would go inside and sit down at the little old pedal organ and she'd sing hymns. Hymns like, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer." And she would sing other hymns. The girls, my mother and her sisters, they'd look through the window and they would hear what was going on and they thought, "This is so unfair. She's just in there having fun and we're out here working. This is so unfair." My mother didn't understand what was going on for many years to come. It was only when she herself was a mother that she understood the need to turn her eyes upon Jesus, to sing hymns, to read scripture, to focus on God, to gain strength and courage for the day. Today, I've shared some things with you. I've shared things with you that make a difference in my life. Five questions for the start of the day. Six strategies that David has used. What the Apostle Paul told us in terms of praying and not worrying. Using music and hymns to help us to focus on God. So today I'm inviting you to try those things that we find from the scriptures and we find from the experience of people who knew God really well. Why not give them a try? What have you got to lose? But you can get strength and courage for the day and for every day right through this current lockdown and beyond. May God bless you. Let's bow our heads in prayer for the benediction. Our Heavenly Father, today we come to you because indeed you are a great and wonderful God. We thank you for caring about us, for giving us insights in the scripture as to how various people in Bible days lived and how they coped with the issues of their life. We thank you for stories that remind us that you were there for them in days of old. And we know that you are with us too. We've come together to worship you today. And we know that you have been with us as we've worshipped you, and you continue to be with us. Thank you for being here and for making a difference in our lives. And as we associate with others and go out into the world in whatever way we do, whether it's by phone or by Zoom or some other method, as we associate with others, may they see that we have been with Jesus. And may they want to know you too. And so we come to you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you and have a wonderful Sabbath. I hope you have an excellent lunch.